Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig, and day two of Agile 2013 here in Nashville, in Tennessee, in the USA. And again, another day full of sessions. Bit of a recap of what I saw. So I kicked off the day, decided to go do something a little bit different, and checked out something in the collaboration culture and teams area. And the talk was called "Compliment Discussions and Clarify Everything with Sketches." It was by Sophie Freemuth. More of a workshop. Look, nothing too new really to report from that particular session. The idea was that using sketches is a good way to convey your ideas, but more importantly, is a good way to remember conversations. So having those around a table with a piece of paper and a pen. Couple of little hints and tips for things on how to draw. So, for example, if you want to draw things like squares, make sure that you line up with the side of the page. Architects get taught to kind of put a dot on the page and then draw a line using the chisel side of your pen to make the lines darker. All sorts of things I think that a lot of us have sort of picked up before. Mind maps, but using pictures in a mind map as well. Those were some of the things that we talked about in there, and really just an exercise to kind of show people how effective that type of thing can be. The next session I went and saw was David Hussman, who's someone who's been around in the Agile circles for many, many years, extremely well known. He was giving a talk called Producing Product Developers, which is really about moving your team from being software engineers and coaches and testers and those type of things to getting people to think more about the product. So his idea was that we should change our metaphor so that Agile coaches should be producers, that software developers should be product developers. So changing that wording. He was giving a lot of examples from places that he'd worked. Probably most recently, one of the examples was at Disney. He said that one of the things he noticed at Disney was that you don't have to go to the division that he was working in, which was gaming, and say, let's have acceptance tests, because game developers actually test as they go, right? They play games. And at Disney, they actually took Friday out to play games. He also made a bit of a comment, which I think is quite a good one, that in his opinion, and I agree with this, that there's an inverse proportion between how much you hear the word agile in an organisation every day to how agile they really are, which is, I think, a good little quote and soundbite that I think I'll steal in future. So when he talks about changing the vocabulary, he was also not only just about the roles that we have, but also things like, eliminating the word meeting, right? Finding other words for things like workshops. When people say, I am doing something, it's not too good. So I'm doing emails. I mean, you don't do emails. They're things that are conceived sometimes to be a bit negative. He was then talking about hiring. His opinion is you don't hire rock stars. And he gave the band analogy, is when was the last time you saw a great super band? And I don't think anybody could really think of one. What you always want to hire is band members, right? You want good soloists, you want good drummers, but not solo acts, because obviously we deliver things in teams. And he did make the observation, which I think is quite right, that one of the things that we are seeing probably in the last 12 to 18 months particularly is that we're moving away from flat lists, we're moving away from things like backlogs and just plain lists of things, to now very rich mechanisms, and things like story maps are a good thing about that. But lots of people talking about visual management as well, is sort of changing the way that we're talking, and that's really where we're going as a community. Basically, he then went on to dive in things like planning, for example. He showed lots of examples of walls and how people were collaborating together. His big thing was really talking about empathy and making sure that you look at things from the user perspective. So even when doing story maps, he likes to start with a persona. One of the things you have to be very careful about as engineers, to try and flip them to think more about the user and not the system. Where do you start and end on testing? Right, he sort of made the comment that Google doesn't do testing. Google just has use, and everybody else tests it. That's not necessarily always the right way, but interesting opinion nonetheless. You know, he made the observation about estimation, that when estimations are widely different, you know, what that really shows you is that people don't know each other very well. They don't really know what they're trying to do very well, and that should be the call to action. As you get better, that's when you can move to things like Kanban, which is, again, something that I completely agree with. You know, he also made an observation, which we've talked about in the podcast before, is that you can't do good continuous delivery without good continuous integration and testing. And if you don't have that, what you get is continuous frustration. And I think that's that again is another good soundbite, which I'll get. There's been a lot of talk here at the conference about scaling Agile. He says he's very dubious about that. At the end of the day, it's still all about small groups collaborating and producing something. You know, they just iterate up into big things. Again, there's some different thoughts about that, you know, around the place. So just a nice little talk, I think, to really make you think about the fact that we're producing something, and really as Agile coaches or as Scrum Masters, you know, we need to think differently about what we do, and remember that it's about the user perspective, it's about empathy, and it's about producing something. It's not about the system, not about software. So after lunch, there's been so much talk in the last 12 months about scaled Agile. I've seen lots of talks on it. I've read the things on the internet, but Dean Leffingwell is really the guy behind that. He was giving a talk about be agile, scale up, and stay lean. It was really about the Scale Agile framework, so who better to hear it from than Dean himself? So went to have a look. Look, there's a lot of stuff in this, and in a 75-minute session, you know, he didn't even really start to scrape the surface. You know, he gave some overview of it. He talked about the new version 2.5 that's just been released and some of the differences in there. Reiterated that the framework is free. You know, you can reuse it and you know, however much you like. Talked a bit about some of the core values, things like, you know, transparency, alignment, program execution, and code quality. He singled that one out to say that you can't scale crappy code, which again I think is something that I strongly believe in. He thinks that we still need to do a lot of work around things like architecture. That, you know, XP really didn't mention it. You know, Scrum didn't really have a role for it. So, you know, some of those roles still need, you know, still need some thinking about. He also made the observation that the existing frameworks, things like Scrum, XP, and Kanban, are all very good. This doesn't replace them. You know, you still pick the one that kind of works best for you and your team. You know, we still need to use those. It's not about replacing those, it's about supplementing them. He then, for all the Australians in the audience, proceeded to show a version of the Haka. What his observation was you know, it was from a Rugby World Cup game, and he apologised to any of the Australians in the audience, but, you know, his comment was that, you know, the guys come out and do the Haka, and he said, if this was a software development team, do you think they'd be ready to code? And it's I think a good observation that, you know, puts people in the right frame of mind. He then showed you know, a couple more videos of different teams kind of doing the Haka just to get them you know, kind of into the scheme of things. So it seems to be kind of meme. M Pretty from Telstra was in the audience and, you know, sort of made some observations about what she was doing at Telstra in Australia. There's also a guy from John Deere who was also sharing some observations as well. So really nothing more to report than that. It was just really about, you know, the Scaled Agile framework, and yeah, didn't really learn anything, but it was I guess it was good to hear from him. The last session of the day, I went along to see a guy named Chris McMahon. He's basically responsible for testing at Wikipedia. His talk was called Radically Open Software Testing. Look, it was an interesting session. It was a session without slides, and honestly it was a little bit all over the place. You know, more for a lot of my liking. He shared a few things. He shared some of the things he's been trying. You know, he's only, you know, for the whole of Wikipedia, you know, he's basically got three testers. And so as a result, he really, really struggles. You know, he's got someone in the mobile space, someone in the language space. He really needs some help. And so what he was really doing is a call to action to, you know, even people in the community to say, I need help. He talked about some different things he's tried. He's tried through an organization called OpenHatch. OpenHatch is an organization that brings people together who want to contribute to open source projects, and he reminded people that, you know, you can contribute to open source in different ways. It can be through things like documentation, and it certainly can be through things like testing. It just doesn't need to be coding. He also tried weekend testing. They actually had quite a bit of trouble with weekend testing, and the main problem was that they were finding lots of bugs but not things that were actually important, and it was because they lacked context. Now, whilst he did give them a test plan, and you know, whether or not they read it is kind of important, it was a learning that, you know, that context is extremely important for testing, which really I think plays through to the fact that is why, you know, even outsourcing testing is actually extremely hard. You get the wrong things out of the end of it. So really he was just talking about his issues and problems about how to scale that. I was hoping maybe for a few more insights about, you know, how they do that well. They seem to live with a lot of problems, is my sort of takeaway from that. They do the best they can. They can do it with more help. He then went on to talk a little bit about how they test the user interface, and he was at ThoughtWorks for a long time, so he was reminiscing a lot about water and Selenium while he was at ThoughtWorks. Then some of the things that he's been doing at Wikimedia. So he's talking about you know, how he was convinced to use Cucumber behind the scenes, WebDriver, and how they do things like use Jenkins via CloudBees to maintain it. And he did show a list of the builds, and they got an awful lot of list of builds with a lot of red builds as well. So again, you know, kind of interesting in what he had to say there. Yeah, look, overall, some interesting sound bites. And I'll probably really giving you the highlights of the 75-minute session there. At the end of the day, it's an organisation that still needs a lot of help, and you know, if you're looking for something to increase your testing skill or want to give back to Wikipedia, you know, there's always articles to edit, but you know, you can always help with testing as well. And then the last session of the day, there was an industry analyst roundtable. It's where they get the analysts from organisations like Gartner and Forrester and IDC together. Asked them a bunch of questions, and probably again no real surprises in this particular session, but you know, so they asked some things like, what's the biggest myth in Agile? You know, so you know, one of them is the Forrester thinks that, you know, living in a post-Agile age is a myth. We still have lots of people who haven't made the leap, and we risk leaving lots of people behind. That we figured it all out is a myth, that we still have a lot of work to do, particularly at a business level. And that it's a myth that things like high compliance or embedded type projects aren't suited to Agile, that it doesn't have the rigor for those, is also a myth. It's just, you know, obviously people haven't tried it. Talked a bit about, you know, regional variations. There were some observations that that Asia, the ASEAN region, is about 5 years behind the knowledge. I hope they weren't talking about Australia and New Zealand there, because I don't think that's the case, but I probably do agree that some of the Asian countries, the take-up still has, you know, a lot of work to be done. Also, some just to mention that Europe was sometimes a little more reluctant than North America. Question around whether Agile is ideally suited to the cloud. You know, the observation from the guy from Gartner, you know, was that that the reason it's important is that our pace of change is now the pace of the internet. You know, affects our users, affects their demands. They want continuous delivery, yet it scares them. We've still got a lot of work to do in that particular space. Has things like more devices or the introduction of hardware along with software put a different pressure on us? And I guess there was a lot of talk in this particular question about the fact that, you know, user expectation is pushing organizations to build more content, more functionality, that the fact that we can now build devices and actually radically change what they do, because we can send things like over-the-air updates, we can repurpose devices as well. That automation is extremely important because things are changing outside of control, like, you know, you're using an external API and you never know when that's going to change, so that's why those things are more important than they ever have been. The questions around, you know, whether middle management is dead. I think they're all in agreement that it's not dead, and not sure it'll be anytime soon. But what Agile does do is expose those in the organisation that don't add any value, people that are just pushing paper. I think one of the throwaway comments was that you know, a manager who has been pushing, you know, paper or pushing people around, right? And that's the skill they want to keep. Well, maybe they'll be good at pushing burgers down the line. You know, that really Agile is still a place that for people who really want to do a good job, people who want to manage and you know, really look after their people, there's a real good place for them, and you know, it's an opportunity for them to stand up. a really good question around whether working for the government, whether Agile is relevant because there's no competition. And again, North American focus, but the guy from Forrester said that, you know, look, you know, you actually look, you know, things like the military, that many departments are actually under pressure to perform. Like, we, you know, the military of today is not the military of 13 years ago. That our governments have large customer bases and demands. Their, you know, access to information is larger than ever it was before. You know, there's more visibility. So, you know, there are reasons why government has to change. They're obviously, you know, slower off the mark, but, you know, they're not going to be the same as they are now, and certainly in some cases they're not the same as even they were a few years ago. A little bit of discussion around outsourcing, and, you know, really talking about, you know, things that collaboration is extremely important, you know, things that we already knew. So again, just some interesting tidbits and observations from, you know, from what organisations like Gartner, Forrester, IDC are seeing from talking to people. I think it just recalibrates, you know, what we kind of already know. Now, Tuesday night is party night at Agile 2013. There's lots of parties going on around the place. Version 1 have their traditional boat tour, which they've done in previous years. I know the guys from Valtech had a bit of a party. I hopped along to the rally session for a little bit, which was down at the place called the Water's Edge inside the Opryland Hotel here, before heading into downtown Nashville for Lean Kit, who had an awesome party. They basically booked out a bridge. It's a pedestrian bridge that runs across the Cumberland River in downtown Nashville. And we all partied on a bridge with thanks to the guys from Lean Kit, which was a really awesome time. So that's day two in a nutshell. About to get ready for day three, another day of exciting sessions, a keynote today as well. So until then, I'm going to say be the revolution.